Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning, and we just pray, Lord, as we open your word, give us ears to hear and eyes to see wondrous things from your word. Lord, we just pray that our hearts would be moldable and shapeable this morning. Have your way with us. And Lord, again, help us to understand these truths and really take them to heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My first house in California, I had a tree, which to me was growing wild, but I learned that they're called volunteer trees. But it was growing, and you got to understand, you see a tree growing in California, now, there's a lot of trees, so don't get me wrong, but for it to grow wild on your subdivision home is kind of wild. So I had this tree growing, and it was getting about as, you know, it's probably about, I'm going to say, 8 feet. And I was thinking, hey, I got a tree here. The problem was it was up against the fence and right against the house. Thinking, this isn't going to do me any good. I'm going to know what I'm going to do. I'm going to dig this tree out and plant it in a place that I can enjoy it. So me, not with my limited knowledge of trees, started digging. And if you ever dug in California, which most of you haven't, I'm going to tell you something. It's not a joyful thing. You hit rocks all the time. So if you can picture a shovel, go kink, kink, get a pitchfork, dig out the rock, the boulders, whatever they are. Seriously, sometimes those rocks are this big. Finally, I'm kind of getting my way around it. I'm getting deeper and deeper, and I'm trying to cut it in a ball. But I notice there's this one root, and it's just, it's a big root, and it's going off, and it's like, it's a pain. It's like, I got to get this root off. So I start hacking at it, cut the thing off, finally get the tree out, have another hole for it where I want it, plant the tree, make a little pull thing there for it, water it, and then I started putting things on it like Miracle-Gro. I'm going to help this tree grow. I'm going to help it just take its roots and just go at it. Unbeknownst to me, I did something wrong. I cut the main root. Never had a chance. The sucker just withered and died. And I thought, man, what a bummer. But see, it taught me something. Roots are very important. See, if you don't have a good solid root foundation, then the tree or whatever bush or whatever it is isn't going to survive. Now, when I was building my shed, I had to dig down, and there was a bunch of roots. I'm not kidding you, but there was no tree around it. I was like, where did all these roots came from? Of course, I came to the deduction that there must have been a tree there at one time. But again, it was such a root system that it had to be thriving. Roots to thrive. Roots in our lives. See, what we do is we always look at the fruits of things, but we don't really look at the root of things. If there is no root, there is no fruit. Now, John the Baptist, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he went straight to the heart of the issue when they came out to him. And he basically, if you want to build a congregation, this is really not a way to do it. He says this to them. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And what he was saying was to those Sadducees and Pharisees is just the fact that you show outward signs of goodness, but it's not true fruit. In fact, Jesus goes on to say this to them in chapter 23 of Matthew. He says, woe, woe, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe, mint, come. You pay your tithes and you think of these other things, but you forget about the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith. He says, you blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgences. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. See, we can have an outside appearance, and it may seem like fruit. But God is always concerned with the root, the heart, that which really life comes and springs forth. A.W. Tozer is one of my favorite authors. And about 60 years ago, he wrote this. He says, much that passes for Christianity today, remember, this is like 60 years ago, is the brief, bright effort of the severed branch to bring forth its fruit in its season. But the deep laws of life are against it. Preoccupation with appearances and a corresponding neglect of the out-of-sight root of the true spiritual life are prophetic signs which go unheeded. Immediate results are all that matter. Quick proofs of present success with a thought of next week or next year. Religion is running wild among the Orthodox. Truth is whatever works. If it gets results, it is good. There is but one test for the religious leader. Success. Everything is forgiven him except failure. A tree can weather almost any storm if its root is sound. But when the fig tree which our Lord cursed dried up from the roots, it immediately withered away. A church that is soundly rooted cannot be destroyed. But nothing can save a church whose root is dried up. No stimulation, no advertising campaigns, no gifts of money, no beautiful effigies can bring back life to the rootless tree. Roots. See, what's important here is what we're talking about is what's going on inside our lives. What is the truth of our reality and our religious experience? Now, we could come and we can bring Bibles, and please don't think that I'm just talking down. I'm with you here, because we can come about looking like we play the part. We can say God bless you and have the right words to say to each other, and we all appear to be doing well. But see, the reality of our faith is what God sees. And God sees the heart. He sees really what our faith and our trust is in. What we live our lives for. But see, the thing is we always got to remember is God's more concerned with the person that we are rather than the appearance to others. The reputation. God cares about our character. He cares about us. So root is the ideal. Root is what God's focused on. That we grow deep. Through the storms and struggles of life, through the persecutions, through the stress, through the pain, through the sorrow, through death, life. Now, in Proverbs, the writer, which I believe is Solomon, said the root of righteous yield fruit. Now, Ephraim was cursed. He said, stricken, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. And Isaiah, talking about the remnant that comes back, it says, who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward to bear fruit upward. So again, the emphasis is on the root. Now, if you will, come with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to kind of go over a parable, and we're going to see, what is the root? How's it really fed? How can it grow strong? And really, this is a very familiar parable with all of us, but we always think of it as somebody that's just hearing the gospel message. But you're going to notice it says the word God. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 3. It says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, hear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him, his 12 disciples, asked about the parable. Drop down to verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by which the wayside, where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, again, we always take this as just people that are receiving the truth of the gospel. But you know what? The truth is, the application is to everyone. To you right now, sitting here, as we're going over the Word of God. Are you listening? Are you chewing on this? Are you allowing the Spirit to meditate and put these things deep down in your heart? Because, again, what the enemy likes to do is come in. And, you know, his tactics are always the same. Questions the character of God. Questions whether this is really relevant to you. Really? It's for you? Questions whether you really are good enough for this. Are you sure they're not good enough for this? So again, it questions God's character, the accuracy, the reliability, and the relevance of God's word to you this morning. Just, you're too tired. Don't think. Don't chew on these things. This isn't about what you're going through. Look, you're going through this. He's talking about that. And you shut off. The enemy just comes and takes what could have been ministering to you, helping your roots grow deeper. Look at verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time afterward when tribulations or persecutions arise. For the word's sake, immediately they stumble. It's like maybe you're getting something, going, yeah. Or maybe in your quiet time, you're reading something, you're going, yeah, this is great. This is good and everything. This is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to change my life. The Lord's going to do this great work. And then you go out and then you find out something. Life is a struggle. Things just don't always go the way you intend them to. Or me. It's hard. And then if you throw that with family and friends, or people that you work with, colleagues, that are not Christians, and they mock you in your faith and your belief and stuff, and then you just kind of, again, just curve over that. I remember there was a friend of mine, I took to the Billy Graham way back, one of his crusades. It was in Anaheim. He came forward and he was eager to hear and to learn and to grow. That next day, a mutual friend who was an atheist looked at him and said, you don't need that stuff. What are you doing? And then talked him completely out of it. Just like that. It can happen with us, too. As we think of the struggles and the tribulations that we have with family, with friends, and just, you know, sometimes we just go, okay, and you shut your mind off. Rather, again, allowing God to allow His Word to really soak in and let the roots grow deep. Look at verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the Word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares, making a living, your job. You know, this is all fine, and we divide it. This is spiritual, this is reality. That's what we say. Oh, you might not say it out loud, but deep down, that's the way you think. okay, this is the religious time. This is the time I spend with God. Now, this is my work time. It's separate. I have to use my ability and my skill. And again, God tells us who gave you that ability, who gave you the ability to learn the skill. And then we realize that everything is still in God's hands. So it's important for us to take God to work with us because He's there. Actually, what really should be is that we go to work with God because He's already there. But what happens is just the cares of life, of making a living, paying the bills, God gets out of the picture. The deceitfulness of riches, wealth, abundance of possessions, the best of things, these things become our focus. Fixing up the yard, fixing up this room. And again, if we can't do it with the understanding that God goes with us and to put a limit to whatever it is, that our possessions don't become possessing us. See, there's nothing wrong with this stuff in its right practical place, but when it becomes so absorbing to us that we push God out, then again, that character of growing deep down into God, the enemy comes and takes away the seed. The world takes away the seed. And that's the thing about desires of other things, of loving, longing for fame or victory, success. Again, we could push God out of the picture. Cravings for good times. I just want to enjoy my life. You've heard people say that. Christians should enjoy their life. Yes, they should to a certain extent. This isn't our home, gang. This isn't our destination. And it's hard for us to get through to our heads. Why? Because the world is preaching something else. Now is the time. You're only young once. Well, you know, really, if we go by the world, once you get older, you might as well just go sit down and do nothing because this world isn't for you. Everything's geared for the young. Everything. So what are we supposed to check? No, because this is not life. This is not the end. This is just part of a journey. Part of a journey that we've all taken with God. But we allow these things to take place. The lust of the world. Wine, woman, and song. Sports. Luxury. Anything that takes and puts God out of His proper place, again, the enemy just sits there and sneers and laughs at us. Anything. So we see what takes away from the roots. And also it's what makes good strong roots. Look at verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Hear the word. An active desire to learn and know God's word. To walk in this church. And that's what I'm calling this. This is the church. This is the church. Why? Because the building? No. Because you are the church. When we come together collectively as the church, when you come through those doors, are you expecting God to speak to you? When you're sitting down, excuse me, and having your quiet time with the Lord, are you expecting God to speak to you? When you're at your job, are you expecting God to speak to you? At school, are you expecting God to speak to you? Because it's interesting because Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. And the word speaks that God's words go forth throughout the whole world. Everything speaks of God. And His word speaks forth because it's living. Powerful. But do we go with that attitude? That we possess in our laps God's voice and His manual to learn to hear His voice, to know His voice, to expect to hear His voice, to accept it, to admit that it is God's word, to receive it as His own word to us, and to take it up and use it. As He speaks, as He ministers, as He teaches it, to put it to practice, to live it. These are how the roots grow deep. Now, it's interesting because Luke adds a word to this too, and a different, maybe it's the same teaching, but you got to realize there's probably sometimes Jesus taught the same thing a few times. But in Luke's gospel, he adds this, to bear fruit with patience. See, when we're spending time with God, we're expecting the fruit. Let's see it. Where's it at? And then when we don't get the fruit that we think should be produced, we get discouraged. But we got to understand something. Just as we can take a seed and plant it, all we can do is water it. But who causes that seed to grow? God does. God does. Who causes us to grow? God does. What does He expect from us? Water. The Word. Nourishment. The root to grow. In Him. Steadfast in Him. In Colossians, in chapter 2, it basically said, you know, turn there. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 real quick. Right after Philippians. Look at verse 6, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Progress in Him. Live in Him. Accompany Him. Fellowship with Him. So, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. And establish in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. God's at work. God's always at work. Scripture tells us that God never slumbers nor sleeps. David tells us in his wonderful psalm that if I were to count the thoughts that you have towards me, I would not be able to count them. They're more than the sand of the seas, the stars of the heavens. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Meaning this, everything that is not, and you know what? Science is good. Science illustrates God's genius. His ability to be an artist. His creativity. His wonder, His majesty. When science is based on truth, then it is something to take hold of. But when that truth is called truth, when it's subjective or interpretation, then it's back off. There are some sciences that are not perfect, so you cannot take them wholeheartedly. Psychology. It's interesting, and some of it's true, but it's not all true. Also, anything, and here you go, anything that separates from the glory of God should be separated from us. Are you with me? Just as Tozer was saying that it's easy to get people excited, it's easy to get people emotional and in church, but there's an old saying, it's not how high you jump, it's what you do when you land. It's the deep-rooted faith that's so important for all of us. Everything else that would separate us from God, from Christ, we should separate from. And that's vain philosophy or even teachings in the church. When the emphasis is not on Christ Jesus and His glory, remember we talked about this, God be magnified, God be glorified, God be honored. This is all about God. This isn't about you or me. Meaning, if we were left to ourselves, there is no hope for us. Our hope is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. If any program, if there's any ministry, if there's anything that does bear fruit, the question is Christ the one that's being magnified, glorified, and it's His teachings that are being taught? If it's not, watch. The fruit will not sustain itself. There has to be a root. And where are we, what are we learning even in this passage? Where is the root established in? It's in Christ Jesus. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Now get this, please. If you don't have this, actually this whole passage, but look at verse 10. And you are complete in Him. Everything that pertains to this life can be found in Him. And if we're still questioning that, then the enemy has you right where he wants you. Did he really say? Does he really care? Can you really trust him? Is he really the only way? You think you're the only one that hears those words? Everybody does. What you do with them. Back on Him in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. Now, Tozer goes on to say this. He says, the whole Bible and all the great saints of the past join to tell us the same thing. Take nothing for granted. They say to us, go back to the grass roots. Open your hearts and search the scriptures. Bear your cross. Follow your Lord. Pay no heed to the passing religious vogue. The masses are always wrong. May I say that again? The masses are always wrong. In every generation, the number of righteous is small. Be sure you're among them. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. It's God's word. It's where the watering truly begins and ends because it points to Him. I just want to go over just a few things here that when you're reading the Word of God, is some things to keep in mind so that you can bear more depth in your roots. Okay? And remember, the fruit is going to come. It's God's. God's the one that produces the fruit. What are we to do? Trust Him that He's producing in you what needs to be produced. Stop looking at other trees. We're not all oak trees here, gang. We're not all maple trees. We're all different. But uniquely made by God for God's purpose. And God has a desire for every one of us. The fruit may be different. But the one thing that we can all take away from this, He desires that root goes deep in Him. So that everything that we are and everything that goes forth from that, He gets the glory, the honor, the praise. Only God. But some things to remember. What does it say about God? What does it say about His character when you're reading? His ability. His glory, His honor, His goodness, His love. What does it say about God? What does it say about His Son? What does it say about His Spirit? That's what you're reading for, I hope. It's not knowledge, but to know Him. to know God. Now, there's some simple things to take with this. Is there a sin that you need to confess or be aware of as you're reading? Let's be honest with each other. There always is, isn't there? It's a mirror. We deal with it quickly as we try. God, forgive me. And we go to that party. God, forgive me for what I did to you. So is there a sin that I need to confess or just keep away from or forsake? Is there a promise I can call my own? Remember, God's not a liar. God has said he stands by his word and he's put his name on it. And when he promises something, it comes to be. But see, the thing is we have to understand something. Let's go back to the patience of the fruit being bared. God is more interested in that root growing deep in him. It's not about us, because if it focuses on us, guess what happens? We become self-righteous. And once that happens, we're no better than the Pharisees. Or like so many of us as Christians, we think it's about how we're doing. You fall to that sin? Oh, I would never do that. And the truth of the matter is, without God, we are nothing but dust in the wind. We have no hope of surviving. But that root is in him. So is there a promise that I can call my own? Is there a blessing to enjoy? God loves you. We sang it. Do you know God says, I love you, and there is nothing that can separate you from my love? Enjoy. And God's heart and thought towards you is continual. And it's for good, not evil. Enjoy. That God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Enjoy. Remember, though, it's not what you foresee. It's that root being deep into him. And then what progresses out of that is, again, for his glory. Some of us are just small bushes. Well, let's be a small bush for his glory, because, again, we see the outside. Ah, look, it's a small bush. Oh, isn't he a cute little thing? God says, oh, no, look at the roots. The roots are deep and rich. And nothing is going to shake that bush. Just think about that one bush. If you would have walked by it, you would have said, it's just a bush. There's nothing big about this bush. There's nothing amazing about this bush. I, for one, I'm not too keen on bushes. I spent half my life looking for things in bushes. Tools, balls, gloves. I don't like bushes. I had this bush in my front yard. It was overbearing the sidewalk or the walkway into my house. I took my chainsaw to it, squared it up good. My wife came out and says, you killed it. I said, but we can walk. She says, it looks ugly. You can't kill those things. I know. I think I killed it. No, there's actually some things growing out of it. There has to be still life in it, but it looks ugly. I'll tell you the truth. But again, we look at the outside. It's the inside. It's the roots growing deep. And sometimes those bushes are the very ones that God uses to light up. And it doesn't consume like Moses saw. So again, remember, it's the roots. What's there a promise to take from that? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there something God's revealing to me that I need to obey? Trust and obey. There is no other way. I was just talking to somebody that, yeah, every time I teach the Bible, it's like obeying something, talking about obedience all the time. To obey him. To trust him. Is there a lesson to be learned? Somebody's failure. We're going over David. He's going to start failing. David's successes. How do we learn from that? Is there something about being a godly person all the time, isn't there? Godly parent, a godly father, a godly wife, a godly mother. What's there to be learned? interacting with people. Not the way I think that should be interacting. Because again, Scripture will tell me, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, be merciful. That's not worldly, gang. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require thee, but to be doing justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. That is not worldly advice. But that's good, deep-rooted advice. So is there a command, a lesson to be learned? And something to praise God about. Just praise. I just thank you, Lord, for these promises. I thank you, Lord, for these truths. I thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. I thank you, Lord, that even though I don't see what's going on, you are at work. It's the roots. Desire is for the roots to grow deep. And I know all of us, if we think about this, some of us feel like we're failing. Oh, we're looking at the fruit. Know something, God's at work. And isn't it good because God's word says this? Hey, don't ever forget this. See, when God begins something, when God puts his hand to a task, when God makes something, he completes it. That's something for all of us to thank God about. It will be complete. We will be complete. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray this morning. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. There's so many times that we doubt you, that we mistrust you, that our faith isn't in you, that we look at other people and we see what you're doing in their lives. We see the fruit that you're bearing in their lives. And we think, why not us, Lord? Why can't we have fruit? And then there's times that we see our fruit and we become prideful and forgive us, arrogant. And again, we miss an opportunity to grow deeper and richer and allow others to enjoy what you are doing, not what we are doing. Lord, we just pray this morning, each of us, that truly our roots would grow deep in you and no one else, nothing else. Give us wisdom and understanding what the enemy's tactics are, that he's always trying to steal what you are planting in our hearts. Give us understanding of these things and help us to stay focused on what really matters. And that you are our God, that you loved us so much that you died for us, that you are our Savior, that you are the great craftsman that is working our lives. That you have promised us a better place and for us to be better people. People made in your image once again in wholeness. So Lord, we just pray, help us to be patient with your work, but help us, Lord, to continue to water and to take care of what you've given us. And let our roots grow deep in you. I pray that each of us spend time in your word daily. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name.